This is a story that has obviously shaken Colorado. It's stunned the world.
A Colorado dentist accused of poisoning his wife's protein shakes was charged today with her murder.
You have got to be effing kidding me. That guy was my dentist.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jim Craig.
You just don't see stories like this. Maybe in a Hollywood bad script.
45-year-old James Craig is accused of putting arsenic and cyanide in her protein shakes.
He's allegedly ordering potassium cyanide and arsenic online. You have got to be kidding me. Jim and Angela Craig seemingly had everything. Successful dental practice, beautiful large family. They seemingly, to me, were in love.
Investigators say he researched poisons in the days leading up to his wife's death.
I couldn't believe the allegations. I couldn't believe the story. I couldn't believe the mugshot. There's my dentist, a mugshot.
Good afternoon, Colorado. I'm Stephen Tubbs.
I'm a talk show host here in Denver.
Late breaking news this afternoon.
I was told by several people, you got to do a podcast on this. People want to know. So we started a podcast called Arsenic DDS.
Welcome to the first episode of this series.
I'd like the truth.
Another new development.
I'd like to know why.
Jim Craig is an innocent man until proven guilty.
If the allegations are true, why did my former dentist kill his wife?
Her symptoms, dizziness, blurred vision, headache, slowed responsiveness. What does that tell you?
Yeah, that's really worrisome. I'm Dr. Jeff LaPointe. I'm an emergency physician and toxicologist. Arsenic will be absorbed very rapidly, and you would probably start getting sick pretty quick.
What about potassium cyanide?
Cyanide is one of the most effective poisons. You're being suffocated on a cellular level.
Angela Craig is getting sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker.
And she'd quickly be declared brain dead. Dr. Jim Craig is accused of premeditated first-degree murder in the poisoning death of his wife, Angela.
There does seem like there's substantial evidence in the case. The arrest warrant was 52 pages long.
I'm Sky Lazaro. I'm a criminal defense lawyer.
The spouse is a very easy target.
He's entered a plea of not guilty.
Maybe he's the most convenient person to look at. If I'm the defense on this, you go after the state and you say, you didn't go look at things you should have looked at.
He administered, allegedly, the poison via her protein shakes.
The state hasn't presented you any evidence that the poison was actually in the drink. You can't show that he did it.
I wouldn't say this is a slam dunk case. There's no motive here. What is the motive?
Natalie Morales reports, who poisoned Angela Craig?
Under that vast Rocky Mountain sky on March 18, 2023, in the Denver suburb of Aurora, Angela Craig died. Just days later, former radio personality Stephen Tubbs began his podcast about the sensational case and the unimaginable news.
I want to personally send our condolences to the friends and family of Angela Craig. Just 43 years old, she passed away, declared brain dead, and not lost on me is the fact that this family has been temporarily destroyed.
Jim Craig had been almost immediately charged with the first-degree murder of his wife, Angela. He has pleaded not guilty. The story of the dentist, his wife, and the allegedly poisoned shakes would be told around the world.
Come on. A dentist. Allegedly ordering potassium cyanide and arsenic. Really?
But it was all as painfully real as a dentist's drill.
Dr. Craig and Angela Craig were just like two peas in a pod. The two of them in the office was cute because they would play pranks on each other all day long.
Chelsea Otoya got to know Jim and Angela when she worked for Dr. Craig at Summerbrook Dental.
They seemed like the perfect couple.
Until, according to Colorado cops, James took his shot at the perfect crime.
Investigators say he researched poisons in the days leading up to his wife's death.
The idea that the dentist stood accused of murdering Angela, his wife of 23 years, seemed incomprehensible because the Craigs seemed so close.
It just was heartbreaking for everyone, and I felt bad.
My name is Dr. Jim Craig, and I practice at Summerbrook Dental Group.
Coming up on our left, the former home of Summerbrook Dental.
Is it this one over here?
It's that one right there, yeah.
For Tubbs, this office building, once home to Summerbrook, has become a tragic touchstone.
The last time that I had eye contact with Dr. Jim Craig, he gave me a root canal.
I thought he was a great guy. I got incredibly competent, friendly care. He was a family man. We talked about his family, his kids. I met his wife.
Angela was the heart and soul of that family, mother to their six children, and a hands-on partner in what seemed like a thriving business.
She was not somebody just to sit there and stay quiet. She was engaged in the dental practice. She was somebody who was talking about ideas and their marketing, their message.
Tubbs helped refine that message, working on some of Summerbrook's advertising. He witnessed how those two peas in a pod work side by side, with Angela pitching in as one of Jim's office managers.
I thought it was kind of cool. You know, you've got a husband and wife, huge family. I thought it was great to see a small Colorado business operated by, you know, husband and wife.
Welcome to our third edition of this podcast.
Tubbs Podcast would delve into the disturbing details of Angela's medical journey, how and why she was allegedly murdered. That account from police is contained in this 52-page arrest warrant.
In nearly 34 years of being a newsman, the most unbelievable and seemingly thorough arrest affidavit I have ever read.
The warrant alleges that James has shown the planning and intent to end his wife's life by searching for ways to kill someone undetected.
This was not the James Craig that I knew.
Dentistry can be expensive. Dentistry can be scary. Dentistry can be uncomfortable.
The James Craig Aurora knew was on display that March 6, 2023, the day Angela's odyssey began. Jim was at Summerbrook when Angela texted from home. "My eyes don't want to focus," she texted. "I feel drugged." And Jim headed right home. He picked up Angela and drove to the ER at Parker Adventist Hospital. She reported feeling dizzy and weak. Doctors fast went to work.
She ends up going into the hospital first time was March 6th, is that correct?
That's right, March 6th was her first time into the hospital.
At the time, George Brockler was another force in Colorado talk radio.
This is the George Show, I'll be with you.
He is also the former elected district attorney for Arapahoe County, where Angela lived and would die, rattling this community.
This is a huge story.
Like Stephen Tubbs, Brockler has immersed himself in the details of Angela's final days, a desperate two-week ordeal. But on that March 6th, as the hours passed in the ER, there were lots of questions, but few answers.
They really didn't have a good answer for what she was going through, and they end up releasing her and sending her home.
Home, where Angela appeared to think she was safe in her marriage. At least that's how she sounded in messages the couple sent each other, with Angela now home, recuperating from her ER visit.
There were texts that would suggest a very supportive, loving relationship.
Jim texts, "I love you. It was so nice hanging out with you and just watching a show and snuggling." Angela texts Jim, "Hi, baby. I love your face." Back home, the busy couple picked up the daily routine that sustained them.
Jim and Angela apparently worked out in the morning. They worked out together, and one of the things that Jim did for his wife was to prepare her a protein shake. It was an absolute routine. This was just part of the normal day.
Jim texts, "I'll need to ask what you're hungry for and bring it to you. I'm kind of feeling just a smoothie or something." "I'm not feeling anything," Angela replies. "Don't bring anything. I'll eat something here." Within 24 hours, Angela's symptoms came back fast and strong. She headed back to Parker Adventist. This time, she would be admitted.
The doctors and nurses are trying. They're conducting tests. They just cannot figure out what is ailing this relatively normal and healthy 43-year-old woman.
All of the steps that the doctors and medical staff had taken seemed to not be working. It was a real mystery.
You wake in the middle of the night alone in your apartment, and that feeling starts to set in that something is wrong. Realizing your home is no longer safe, you plan your escape. But he has other plans. The details are the kind that stay with you. Water running in an empty apartment. A locked door that shouldn't be locked. That uneasy feeling of being watched. That's the setup for Unhinged, the new immersive game experience on Netflix. Your phone becomes your controller, flashlight, and lifeline to your best friend. As the attacker in your building closes in, the phone in your hand will ring. The question is, will you answer? Play now, only on Netflix.
There was nothing that would be even remotely a red flag or this is a rocky, troubled marriage. None of that at all.
With Angela still terribly sick, in March of 2023, she was back at Parker Adventist a second time, now as an admitted patient. According to the warrant, during her stay, Angela texted her husband, Jim, "Now I'm hungry." And he texted back later that he was bringing food, writing, "Okay, I got you."
Well, if the loving husband who wants to see his wife remain healthy.
That arrest warrant contains numerous texts detailing how, as Angela was hospitalized, Jim went back and forth from their home to her bedside to Summerbrook, a husband seemingly supporting his wife and caring for their kids.
He's continuing to go to work, and I don't begrudge him for that. He's got a family of six kids.
And the warrant would show that apparent trust that Angela placed in Jim, how she reached out to him to share her symptoms, texting, "I'm cold, super tired, weak, shaky, and dizzy." And Jim sent compassionate texts to Angela, "I love you and miss you, and I'm so worried. I wish you were healthy enough to come home tonight and snuggle me."
Angela Craig was so sick.
It seemed that all her symptoms had returned.
She had horrible headaches, horrible nausea. She was dizzy, and doctors were at a loss.
They're struggling to figure out what in the hell is causing this. What is making her sick?
And they just could not get an answer.
As Angela stayed in the hospital without a diagnosis, Jim Craig was in touch with his friends Michelle and Ryan Redfern, a fellow dentist. Ryan had recently become business partners with Jim, he would later tell police.
Ryan Redfern went to dental school with Jim Craig all those 20-plus years ago. He'd known him all that time. He was a close confidant.
And with Angela so sick, according to the warrant, Jim also texted with Ryan's wife, Michelle Redfern, trained as a nurse.
What were they texting about?
The texts were really the kinds of things you would exchange with someone who's another medical professional. I mean, he was talking about blood pressure. He was talking about concerns the doctors had expressed about symptomology that should have resolved by now.
But one of Jim's texts, in retrospect, seemed odd, as it appeared he was making light of Angela's mysterious illness.
Jim Craig texts Michelle Redfern, quote, "If it wasn't my wife, this would be kind of a fun puzzle to try to work out." Exclamation point. Who says that?
Still, a bad joke in times of crisis isn't unusual, says former DA Brockler.
Everybody reacts to trauma differently.
And James Craig seemed worried. It had been four hectic days since Angela was admitted. One a.m. in the desolate hospital corridors. Police say Jim told others he was sleeping on a stool next to Angela when her vital signs crashed. Doctors responded through the night.
I have thought about every agonizing minute that Angela Craig was in.
But over the next day, Angela seemed to stabilize. And on March 14th, still with no answers as to why she was sick, Angela was released from Parker for a second time. Once again, Angela came home to her husband of 23 years. But she wouldn't be home for long. Within a day, she started feeling sick again. So on March 15th, she was admitted to nearby University Hospital. There would be more tubes and tests and monitors. Jim was soon by her side.
They had no idea what was wrong with her.
Police say Jim didn't stay long at first. Within half an hour, he drove home from the hospital. Then, about an hour and a half later, he returned, carrying food. Cops say he then went into Angela's room alone. Soon after, Angela had a seizure, and once again, her vital signs crashed.
It was critical.
Jim Craig took these photos of Angela as hospital staff tried to save her. Angela, once so full of life, was put on life support. What medical staff didn't know at the time was that days earlier, a package had reportedly arrived at Jim Craig's office. Authorities say what was in the package ordered by Jim Craig himself would become key evidence in this case. Craig allegedly told a staff member that he would be receiving a personal package and not to open it.
Jim Craig had said, don't open this package. Somebody did. She sees the words potassium cyanide. Why are we getting potassium cyanide to a Colorado dentist's office?
Angela Craig was on life support, fighting to survive. Jim Craig texted the photos he took to Michelle Redfern, writing, crash, intubated. Doc says she's very, very worried. Michelle and Ryan raced to the hospital. Ryan would later tell police he watched as Jim Craig broke down.
He saw Craig crying after speaking to doctors about Angela's prognosis.
Yep, he did say he saw him crying afterwards.
But according to police, Ryan Redfern was far from convinced those tears were real. That's because on his way to the hospital, he had gotten a call from a staff member at the office. The call was to alert Redfern about that package marked potassium cyanide that had arrived at Summerbrook Dental, allegedly addressed and later given to Jim Craig.
And there's the dominoes that are now falling one after the other.
Ryan Redfern led the way.
He does what any other normal person would do.
According to police, while Angela was on life support, Ryan tells a nurse that Jim Craig recently ordered potassium cyanide, adding that there was no medical reason or purpose to order potassium cyanide for a dental practice.
The nurse, being a mandatory reporter, calls Aurora Police, and I mean, it's like that. Within 5 hours, probably even less, there is a member of the homicide unit with Aurora PD at University Hospital.
Cops started asking questions. Then, according to the warrant, Ryan received a call from James' personal cell phone.
Tell me about that phone call.
I think Ryan and his wife are in the parking lot of the hospital when Jim calls them.
According to police, Jim asked Ryan if he had said anything to the hospital staff. Ryan confirmed that he had and told Jim that he knew what Jim had ordered. And Jim replied that the package was a ring for Angela and that he wanted to surprise her.
And Ryan says, it's not a ring. We know what was in there. And I mean, this is a testament to Ryan Redfern.
A decades-long friendship was about to be tested, then shattered. This tale was once again told in a text revealed in that warrant. As the next morning, James Craig pleaded with his pal and partner, texting in part, I want to make an urgent plea to you. Please don't talk to anyone, including any law enforcement officers. You are under no obligation to answer their questions unless you are served a subpoena, and you will do more damage than good to my family by continuing to insert yourself into this.
How damning is that text in itself?
I'm trying to think of all the innocent applications of the phrase, please don't talk to the police. I can't come up with any. It's a desperate effort to try to keep Ryan from cooperating any farther with law enforcement.
But if that's what he was trying to do, it was too late. Police had already launched their investigation. On March 18th, 2023, Angela was taken off life support. Friend, wife, mother of six, Angela Craig was dead.
I was in complete shock and complete disbelief. In my head, I'm like, this is crazy. It's not true. I thought maybe it was an accident.
But investigators didn't think so. Just hours after Angela died, Dr. James Craig would be arrested and charged with the first-degree murder of his wife, Angela.
There's my dentist. A mugshot.
James Craig would plead not guilty. Months later, Angela's autopsy would be released. That autopsy states Angela died from a lethal concentration of cyanide and a lethal concentration of tetrahydrozoline, the chemical found in some eye drops. And it says that Angela had toxic concentrations of arsenic in her blood in those two earlier hospital visits.
To think about what Angela Craig endured. This woman was in agony, dying, for so long.
Just a week before Angela got sick, according to the warrant, Jim Craig set up a new email account using the alias Jim and Waffles and used it to research multiple poisons. All part of his plan, according to investigators, to murder Angela.
One particular Google search. How many grams of pure arsenic will kill a human?
Craig, investigators say, also found these videos.
Popular for many reasons, we have cyanide.
With titles like Top 5 Undetectable Poisons That Show No Sign of Foul Play.
Arsenic is virtually undetectable.
And police say on the same day he did that online research, James Craig made a purchase, arsenic, and had it delivered straight to his family's mailbox.
I think he legitimately believed that he would be able to poison his wife, she would die, he would have her cremated, and then they'd move on.
Poison. Some call it the recipe for a perfect crime, a silent, invisible killer. No blood, no gun, no fingerprints. Even doctors can have a hard time spotting it.
It's a pretty rare medical subspecialty.
Dr. Jeff LaPointe is the director of the Division of Medical Toxicology at San Diego's Kaiser Permanente Hospital.
If it's a poison or a venom, that's what we specialize in.
You're that guy.
Yeah.
So we asked him, and Dr. LaPointe focused in on the alleged actions of James Craig and the final days of Angela's life.
He reviewed the arrest warrant for us and some of the deadly drugs it lists.
Let's start with arsenic.
Okay. Arsenic is a very famous poison. It's not detectable by taste or odor.
Dr. LaPointe says Angela's symptoms in those first two hospital visits are consistent with arsenic poisoning.
Nausea and vomiting.
Lower blood pressure, higher blood pressure?
Generally lower.
How much would kill a person?
It does not take very much.
But police say there was more. A week after he purchased that arsenic, they allege Craig, as Jim and Waffles, went back online. He ordered a second poison. Beguiling and beautiful.
Oleandrin, what is that?
So oleandrin is a toxin found in oleander.
I'm thinking of those white flowers.
Yeah, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
As lovely as a rose, only deadly.
It prevents the heart from beating very efficiently.
But after 3 days, the oleandrin hadn't been delivered. That's when investigators say Jim Craig upped the ante. Cops say he placed this order with a medical supply company for his strongest toxin yet, potassium cyanide.
Cyanide is one of the most effective poisons that exist.
Just a microdose could kill you then.
Yeah, a very small amount per kilogram and you're not gonna live. When you are poisoned with cyanide, you're being suffocated on a cellular level. It's a very potent poison. Your victim would die very rapidly.
Cyanide is so deadly that you need a medical license to buy it.
My name is Dr. Jim Craig.
And police say that when Dr. James Craig placed his order from a medical supply company, he stated he needed it for a complex dental procedure.
There's no use for potassium cyanide in my practice, or I can't think of many medical practices.
So a dentist ordering arsenic, potassium cyanide, and oleandrin, what does that suggest to you?
Someone is trying to collect poison.
But this father and husband would offer a very different story about why he wanted those deadly poisons.
What do you make of Ryan Redfern's choice? Chat now with the 48 Hours team on Facebook and X.
Detectives suspected Jim Craig had bought all those poisons to kill his wife, but they wanted to know why. They would find a lead miles away from Aurora on a trip Jim Craig made and a woman he met just before Angela got sick.
Doesn't it just always seem like there's another woman involved? Always. Almost always.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It's a rule of the road there. But investigators allege it is yet one more rule James Craig didn't think he had to play by when he met Karen Kane.
Karen Kane, an orthodontist from Austin, Texas. She meets Jim Craig at a dental conference in Las Vegas.
It was February 23rd, a week and a half before Angela Craig first went to the hospital. The doctor was traveling alone, and he rolled the dice.
They strike up a relationship.
They hit it off. It's a whirlwind.
A few weeks later, according to the warrant, Karen Kane would fly to Colorado and rendezvous in this hotel with James Craig. He would use that newly created email, Jim and Waffles, to flirt with her.
It's not illegal to have affairs.
Sky Lazaro is an experienced defense attorney familiar with cases involving poison. James Craig and his attorney declined our request for an interview. Lazaro reviewed the case against Jim Craig for 48 hours, and she identified potential weaknesses.
Is it reasonable that you would kill your wife to be with someone that you had a 10-day relationship with?
The common defense strategy is affairs do not make a murderer.
Right. One doesn't automatically mean you did the other.
At the time she visited Jim in Colorado, Karen Kane did seem to know Angela was very sick and in the hospital. In fact, she had sent a concerned email to Jim. It read in part, "Hi, honey, I am so sorry for what has transpired this week in your world. I am praying for you and seeking God's wisdom for this time. I love you." But there is no evidence to suggest Karen Kane knew anything more.
Nothing that I have seen gives any indication that she knew that Jim was trying to kill his wife.
And according to investigators, Jim Craig lied to Karen, telling her that he filed for divorce and was living separate in an apartment.
He gives the standard male, typical, I'm going through a divorce. No, he's not.
And a detective said she told them her relationship with Jim was intimate, but not sexual. Karen Kane sent 48 hours an email writing, I had absolutely nothing to do with this horrific crime, and my heart is absolutely broken for Angela Craig and her family. And she says she is cooperating fully with the police and prosecution.
Karen Kane met the wrong guy at the wrong time. She didn't know anything.
Tubbs and Brockler imply maybe no one knew anything about who Jim Craig really was. His pristine image, loving parent, church member, dedicated husband, now all being questioned. And as cops continue to investigate, another possible motive emerged.
One of the things that surprised me in this story is the financial duress that Summerbrook Dental was under.
In fact, Jim Craig's business had filed for bankruptcy in 2020. Shortly after, his then friend Ryan Redfern signed on as a partner.
Financial problems.
Financial problems.
He was way in over his head then, in debt.
Way in over his head.
And at a preliminary hearing in 2023, prosecutors argued that Jim Craig had about 3.4 million reasons to kill his wife, the value of Angela's life insurance.
Jim had liabilities in excess of $2 million, and we know that from some of the bankruptcy filings.
But Lazaro says she's not convinced those financial problems give James Craig a motive for murder.
Is this sort of the portrait of a desperate man?
Not necessarily. We see businesses go through bankruptcy all the time and come out the other side.
And as for any poisons he may have ordered, Lazaro states those purchases may not even be illegal.
He can legitimately purchase it because he has a DEA number.
As a doctor, as a dentist, right?
Right. Just having it isn't murder.
Mm-hmm. Administering it.
Right.
But according to the arrest paperwork, Jim Craig might have thought he had that figured out too. Authorities say he could have slipped the poison into one of those protein shakes he so often made.
The morning routine at home, for example.
Yeah.
On that morning of March 15th, the day Angela Craig would finally crash before she was taken to the hospital, she was home with Jim. Investigators say that's when he may have made her one of those protein shakes and laced it with potassium cyanide.
It is tasteless, it is odorless, it is colorless, it is really hideable inside something like a shake.
And highly lethal.
Highly lethal.
But attorney Lazaro counters the evidence may not be there. She has reviewed the transcripts from that July 2023 preliminary hearing and says there's nothing there that shows Jim Craig put poison in Angela's shakes.
They went and tested everything in the house and didn't find any trace evidence of there being arsenic or cyanide or anything in the protein powder, in the protein bottles. The state hasn't presented you any evidence that the poison was actually in the drink.
And Lazaro says the defense can paint a picture of Jim Craig as a kind and attentive partner.
Jim's text messages to Angela are extremely loving and extremely caring. He repeatedly asks her how she's doing. He tells her he loves her.
So if Jim Craig didn't poison his wife, who did? Craig had a story to tell about that.
Go behind the scenes with the 48 Hours Postmortem Podcast.
Welcome to the first episode of...
As Stephen Tubbs reported on his podcast, there may be another story to tell about Jim Craig and what happened to Angela. The story wasn't about murder. It was about suicide.
Craig says to the business partner on the phone, she was just playing chicken.
A According to the warrant, when Ryan Redfern confronted Jim about the cyanide, Jim allegedly said that Angela asked him to order it for her, that it was all a dare, kind of a deadly game of chicken.
According to Jim Craig, she's been threatening suicide, and this game of chicken is, now are you gonna take it?
But according to that 52-page warrant, none of Angela's family members told police she was suicidal. A more likely argument for the defense, says attorney Lazaro, is that Jim Craig had been looking for cyanide not to kill Angela, but to kill himself.
There was some statements that he, in fact, was suicidal, not her.
At that preliminary hearing in 2023, Jim Craig's defense team said Jim had spoken to a friend about his own past plans to die by suicide, and that Dr. Craig had made a statement to that friend that he was going to die by suicide with something that was not traceable. The defense pointed out that Jim suffered from depression and went to counseling in the past. And as the defense indicated, Jim told Angela at one point that he had actually drugged her years earlier when he had tried to kill himself, hoping that while she was drugged, she wouldn't be able to stop him.
It sounds like there had been something that he had tried before with her.
Mm-hmm. That he had drugged her so that she would fall asleep, so that he could go essentially kill himself and she wouldn't be there to render any aid or call for help.
And remember when Angela first started feeling sick and she texted Jim, "I feel drugged"? Craig's defense points out that he texted back, "Given our history, I know that must be triggering. Just for the record, I didn't drug you." The defense said this text supports the story of Jim Craig's past depression and suicide attempts. But Lazaro says it's unlikely the defense would try to tell a jury that Jim and Angela were both trying to die by suicide.
You have to pick one at some point. Mm-hmm. And it's either she's suicidal or that he's suicidal and this is why he bought the drugs.
But perhaps the most compelling evidence authorities say they have is what Angela Craig left behind in her own blood. That autopsy revealed something investigators find remarkable. The levels of cyanide in Angela's body actually increased while she was in the hospital on that final day. The possible implication? Tubbs wonders if prosecutors will contend Craig gave his wife more poison in the hospital.
If the allegations are true, this is about as cruel as it gets. Period.
Jim Craig's defense has hired its own toxicologist. And come his trial for murder, Sky Lazaro says Jim Craig, innocent until proven guilty, may himself be portrayed as a victim of cops too eager to make a fast arrest.
It's essentially a 3-day investigation.
Jim Craig's quick arrest, she says, could be a weakness for the state.
You decided from the get-go that this had to be poisoning. This was the foregone conclusion. So you never went and looked for anything else.
And as for that idea that poison might be the key to someone trying to commit the perfect crime, toxicologist Dr. Jeff LaPointe says that is just plain wrong.
You're going to get caught.
That's an important message.
Yeah, very.
There are ways that these will be traced and you will be found.
You'll be found.
And while Angela's friends and family are waiting for their day in court, they are left with photographs and their memories. Three of Jim and Angela's 6 children are living with Jim Craig's brother. The other 3 are now adults living on their own, including their daughter, Mira. On Mother's Day 2023, Mira wrote this on social media. "As of tomorrow, my mom will be 2 months gone. I haven't the words to express the heartache my siblings and I feel every day."
There's no words, you know? The whole situation is just traumatic.
This will all end, the lights will come down, the cameras leave. 30 years from now, those kids who are in their teens right now still will be without a mom.
Mira's last words in that post, "I love you so much, Mama. We miss you."
Jim Craig's trial is scheduled to begin on August 8th, 2024.
Need more time with 48 Hours? Go deep behind every true crime episode with firsthand accounts from 48 Hours investigations.
Were you at all prepared for what happened in this case?
Shock is the word that comes to mind.
Get inside the twists and turns and get in on the case. Listen to Postmortem from 48 Hours, now available wherever you get your podcasts.